live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Up, beautiful people, welcome to this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. That's right, folks. It is Friday, November 6th, 2020. You guys know I call it Friday. And it is a beautiful one today, Mid Michigan. I mean, my goodness, we're going to see temperatures in the low 70s throughout the weekend starting today. And folks, we live in Michigan here. You know, we don't live in L.A. We don't live in Miami. You know, we're not down south somewhere. This is Michigan we're talking about. Usually, we have seen a few inches of snow already on the ground. But the beginning of November in the 70s, yeah, we'll be breaking records throughout this weekend temperature-wise. And folks, soak it up and enjoy it, okay? I know I am. I am going to try and golf today, tomorrow, and on Sunday. All right, all 3 days, okay? Of course, after handling business. but enjoy this weather, folks. And it is a beautiful day to tune in and make Current Sports a part of your day. I thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your Friday afternoon, because we got a lot to get to. A lot to get to, folks. This will be a very, very busy weekend in the world of sports. For all of you football fans out there, Michigan State will move on from the big-time win against in-state rival Michigan from last week and will travel to Iowa to take on the Hawkeyes tomorrow afternoon. I am going to preview that game, and I am going to tell you what Michigan State must do in order to prove that what happened last week Saturday in the Big House in Ann Arbor wasn't a fluke. All right? So we'll dive into Michigan State and Iowa. I'll briefly touch upon Michigan traveling to Indiana, trying to get out of the doghouse after losing to the Spartans. And Michigan has had some great success against Indiana. And I think this is like the ideal game for the Wolverines after what happened last weekend. All right, so we'll get to that. Also, you know, COVID-19 has really thrown a monkey wrench into so many different areas in the world of sports, not just our daily lives, but of course the world of sports as well. And we are seeing outbreaks take place at various colleges out there, really, you know, causing the college football world to scramble and try and figure things out. And the same is happening in the world of the NFL right now. I'm going to get to a few stories in just a moment, courtesy of our headliners, in which the NFL is trying to juggle some things, seeing as though there are more outbreaks with different teams in the National Football League. But also, we don't know about college basketball, as far as a schedule goes just yet. You know, I've been talking to you guys for weeks now about how Michigan State basketball is just kind of in limbo because they don't have a full schedule. They're trying to figure things out. And, you know, Tom Izzo is a bit annoyed about it. There are many coaches out there that are a bit annoyed about it because it's hard to game plan for the upcoming season when you don't know who you're going to be playing. But with that being said, we're going to roll in just about 8 or 9 minutes of this week's media availability for one of the big names for the Michigan State men's basketball team this upcoming season, Aaron Henry. That's right. He was involved in a lot of chatter during the offseason on whether or not, you know, he would stay another year at Michigan State or take his talents to the NBA. And eventually, you know, after getting feedback from various NBA professional personnel out there, he decided to come back. And I'm going to dive into the reason why he decided to come back and not take his talents to the association and what this now means for Michigan State basketball moving forward, even though we don't have a full schedule just yet. All right, that as well as a segment that we bring to you guys each and every Friday to close out the week, Reflection Friday, where I look at the week that has been here on WKAR's Current Sports, maybe bring up a few stories and a few segments that we really had some fun with this week, and also maybe a few stories that we didn't get a chance to get to, all right? Especially, you know, and I touched upon this on yesterday's Current Sports, but, you know, addressing the Election Day anxiety, and we're still counting votes right now, folks. We are still counting votes. We do not have a winner just yet, even though right now I'm reading that Joe Biden is on the verge of 270 electoral votes, and he's in the lead. So, yeah, a lot to get to on today's Current Sports. If you would like to be a part of the hour, you guys know that there are multiple ways in which you can do so. All right, you can pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Call and leave us a voicemail at that number. You can also weigh in courtesy of social media. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment anywhere there on our Facebook page. And you can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. You know what's next, though? Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this November 6th, 2020. Well, of course, we start here. Michigan State football back at it tomorrow afternoon on the road at Iowa. Fresh off that 27-24 win at number 13, Michigan. The Spartans now travel to Iowa City tomorrow afternoon to take on the Hawkeyes. And the Hawkeyes having a tough start to the season right now. They are 0-2. 0-2 to start the year. That will be a noon kick time on ESPN. Michigan State is looking for its fourth consecutive victory over Iowa, which would be the longest streak for the Spartans over the Hawkeyes in the 67-year series history that dates all the way back to 1953. Michigan State defeated Iowa for the third time in a row back in 2017 in Spartan Stadium, 17-10, the final there. In the last matchup between the two schools, meeting in the 2015 Big Ten Championship game, if you remember, number 5 Michigan State edged the previously undefeated and 4th-ranked Hawkeyes 16-13 to win the Big Ten title and earn a berth in the college football playoff. That was a magical game. You guys remember the L.J. Scott arm extension that gave Michigan State that win and sent them to the college football playoff, in which they lost to Alabama down in Texas, but still not too many teams can say they played in the CFP. All right, Michigan State's 2020 roster features two players from Iowa. Not only do you have redshirt junior kicker Cole Hahn from West Des Moines, Iowa, but you've got redshirt junior quarterback, your starting quarterback of the Michigan State football team, Rocky Lombardi, who is also from Iowa. And Iowa also is a favorite, despite being 0-2 and despite Michigan State coming off that improbable victory over Michigan last weekend. Iowa is a 6.5-point favorite. And that line has moved actually down because I know it opened up this week as a touchdown favorite in favor of Iowa. So we'll see what happens, folks. More on that game in just a moment. Michigan and Indiana. The streak is well documented by now. The Indiana Hoosiers have lost 24 straight games to the Michigan Wolverines, with their last victory coming back in 1987. Yeah, 87, folks. I was born in 1990, so this was before I was even born, all right? Head coach Tom Allen has this Hoosier program on an upward trajectory, though, coming off their first 8-win season in 2019 and starts this season 2-0. The first 2-0 start in the Big Ten since 1991, when I was 1 year old. Indiana announced a sound victory over Rutgers last weekend, 37-21, with the defense allowing just 247 total yards and forcing 3 turnovers. As for the Wolverines, well, yeah, coming off that just really unexpected loss to rival Michigan State. In this game, though, you know, again, despite, you know, that impressive performance against Rutgers over the weekend, last weekend, for Tom Allen's troops, and despite Michigan looking awful against Michigan State, Michigan is still a 3-point favorite. I think you're looking at history, though, right? I mean, you look at the history of these two programs going at it, you know, the Hoosiers losing 24 straight games. So, yeah, Michigan a 3-point favorite in this one. Noon kickoff on Fox Sports 1. Also, we've got some action, folks. Kobe Lewis had 28 carries for 112 yards and 2 touchdowns. Daniel Richardson accounted for 2 more touchdowns, and Central Michigan ended up beating Ohio 30-27 on Wednesday night. Richardson was 23 of 41 passing for 243, including a 50-yard touchdown to Khalil Pimpleton, and scored on a 1-yard run. So there you have that. Central Michigan off to a great start to the year there. Western Michigan beat Akron 58-13. Caleb Ellaby, he passed for 262 yards and 3 touchdowns, including 2 to Dwayne Exridge, and Western Michigan cruising to that big, big win. Exridge had 3 receptions for 113 yards, including a 76-yard TD that made it 37-13 early in the third quarter, and his 45-yard kickoff return in the first quarter eventually led to his 5-yard scoring catch that gave WMU the lead for good at 10-3. And also, Kent State ended up topping Eastern Michigan 27-23, so not a great start for the Eagles. Dustin Crum accounted for 3 touchdowns, leading Kent State to that victory over EMU. All right, so Maction is back. That's got to feel good, right, sports fans? All right, Michigan State hockey will open up its season with a 2-game series at home November 19th and 20th against Arizona State. The Big Ten released the first half of its 28-game hockey schedules for each school on Thursday. Each Big Ten team will play 4 games against conference opponents in addition to 4 games against Arizona State. The second half of the schedule, as well as game times and television coverage, will be released at a later date. Michigan State will travel to Ohio State come Thanksgiving weekend before playing 4 games in 7 days, all at home at Munn Ice Arena against Minnesota and Wisconsin. The Spartans will then travel to Notre Dame for its final series before the Christmas break, which will be December 19th and the 20th. Right now, fans are not allowed at the games. There will be exceptions for, you know, the family of players and staff. But right now, no fans are allowed at these hockey games, folks. Okay, to the NBA, as news was released that the 2020-2021 season will begin in late December, on December 22nd to be exact. That's according to reports from ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski and The Athletic's Shams Charania, ending a 9.5-month hiatus for your and my Detroit Pistons. The NBA draft is set for November 18th. That's just, you know, now days away. And free agency is expected to start soon after, meaning the organization will now have a rapid-fire finish to 2020 following months of inaction. Teams will play a 72-game schedule, a 10-game reduction from the usual 82-game season. The NBA had to reduce the length of the season to account for lost time. Last season tipped off on October 22nd, a full 2 months earlier. The season is anticipated to end before the 2021 Tokyo Olympics, enabling NBA players to participate in it. The league will now work to put next season's schedule together without the complication of having to plan around concerts and other sporting events due to, of course, the coronavirus pandemic. Now, The Athletic says that the schedule will also involve 3 to 4 preseason games, a 25% reduction in travel, and a 6-day all-star break in early March. The NBA's new parameters for next season shouldn't negatively impact the Detroit Pistons after losing more than $1 billion in revenue last season. The league will keep last season's cap figure of $109 million, according to Sarnia. That means the Pistons should have around $30 million in cap space, enough to be a major key player in free agency and the trade market. The Pistons also have the 7th overall pick in the draft, but it could be an extended period of time before Pistons fans will be able to watch the new draft pick in person. Training camp begins on December 1st, giving the Pistons less than a month to prepare. So that's a lot there, but the NBA season is going to proceed here. And, you know, it just seems like yesterday that we, you know, we just had, you know, the NBA finals and crowned LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers kings of the basketball world. And, you know, LeBron James, upon hearing of the news that the NBA is going to rev up yet again in late December, he said that, look, there's going to be a lot of cherry picking for me. All right. He's a tired man. He's a tired man. So, but yeah, it'll be good, though, to see my Pistons back, even though they haven't been a good basketball team in a long, long time. All right. The Detroit Lions coronavirus caseload is growing, but for now, it has not impacted Sunday's game against the Minnesota Vikings. The Lions placed a player on the reserve / COVID-19 list yesterday for the third straight day. This time it was practice squad safety Jalen Elliott. Elliott joins quarterback Matthew Stafford and linebacker Jarrett Davis on the list. Stafford tested negative for the virus. His wife Kelly noted that on Thursday on Instagram, but was in close contact with an infected person. If he returns negative test results the next 3 days, he will be eligible to play come Sunday against the Vikings. But that's not news you want to hear. You know, your starting quarterback having possibly COVID-19. All right, and speaking of COVID-19 in the NFL, the Las Vegas Raiders have been fined $500,000 and stripped of a 6th-round pick in the 2021 draft, and head coach John Gruden has been fined an additional $150,000 by the NFL for what one source described to ESPN as, quote, brazen and repeated violations of COVID-19 protocols, end quote. So Gruden not obeying the COVID-19 rules. This came after the Raiders had already been docked $250,000 and Gruden $100,000 for his not wearing a mask properly during the team's Week 2 home opener, and the team was fined an additional $50,000 for allowing a non-credentialed employee access to the locker room following that game. Just reckless. Also, tight end Darren Waller was fined $30,000, and 9 teammates, including quarterback Derek Carr, were dinged $15,000 each for appearing October 5th at a Waller Foundation charity event, maskless, and mixing in with the crowd. So, yeah, you can't do that either. In total, Las Vegas, the Raiders, have racked up $1.185 million in fines for breaking COVID-19 protocols, and the Raiders are the first team to lose a draft pick over the violations. So the Raiders just really, they don't seem to care about COVID-19 at all. All right, more NFL news. Thursday Night Football was a bit of a snooze last night as the San Francisco 49ers, they fell to the Green Bay Packers hard, 34-17, the final. The Niners were really just dominated from the opening kickoff. San Francisco was missing, though, basically all of its top players. Jimmy Garoppolo and George Kittle officially went on injured reserve earlier in the week, while Trent Williams, Brandon Ayuk, and Kendrick Bourne missed the contest after they were put on the reserve/COVID-19 list. So the Packers now improved to 6-2 on the season. Aaron Rodgers and company look great, and the 49ers dropped to 4-5 on the season. And also, the Detroit Tigers are hiring Chris Fetter from the University of Michigan to be their next pitching coach. John Morrissey of the MLB Network first reported the news. Fetter will join new manager A.J. Hinch's new staff after three seasons as pitching coach at Michigan. Fetter replaces Rick Anderson, who was a longtime pitching coach for former manager Ron Gardenhire in Minnesota and Detroit. Fetter was among the most coveted college coaches in the country, earning praise for his development of Michigan pitchers and his use of technology to get the most out of his players. So, the Detroit Tigers, again, hiring Chris Fetter as its new pitching coach. All right, the Boston Red Sox have decided to bring back Alex Cora as the team's manager after he served one season suspended for his role in the Houston Astros sign-stealing scandal. The Red Sox finished the season 24-36 and parted ways with Ron Ronicki, who served as Cora's replacement since January. Cora was not allowed to interview for the job until after the World Series concluded. Heyman reports the Red Sox flew to Puerto Rico to interview Cora last week. Again, that's the report. This is reporting coming from the MLB Network's John Heyman. The team was also considering Sam Fold, who played for the Tampa Bay Rays from 2011 to 2013 and has close ties with Red Sox chief baseball officer Shane Bloom. All right, so again, Alex Cora returning to the Red Sox. All right, a very loaded headliner segment there. A lot to digest there. If you have any thoughts on it, or if you just want to give your thoughts and projections on Michigan State and Iowa, or Michigan and Indiana, any thoughts about Detroit Lions taking on the Minnesota Vikings this Sunday, a lot of football this weekend. You can call in, leave us a voicemail at 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. You can leave us a comment right there on our Facebook page, and you can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. All right, so let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll preview Michigan State and Iowa. Can the Spartans, led by first-year head coach Mel Tucker, can they continue to trend upward? That and more, you are listening to the Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and Michigan State has to now put to bed, of course, last week, even though Michigan State fans will be relishing that win over the Michigan Wolverines for quite some time, at least the next year, right? I mean, that's how it goes when it comes to this in-state rivalry. When it comes to the battle for the state, the state championship, if you will, the winning fan base has bragging rights until the following year when the two meet again. All right, but for Mel Tucker and the Spartans, they have to now move on, put that emotion away, and figure out how to keep getting better. And they now have an opportunity to play an Iowa team that is 0-2 to start the year. Now looks can be deceiving for sure. I mean, when you look at, you know, Iowa's first two games of the season, I mean, these were really, really close games. I mean, we're talking about a losing margin of just 5 points when you look at the loss to Purdue and Northwestern combined for the Hawkeyes. They lost to Purdue 24-20 in game one, and then the following week, last weekend, they fell to Northwestern by just 1 point. So they could easily be 1-1. They could easily be, you know, 2-0. But at the end of the day, a loss is a loss, and they begin the year 0-2. And this means that Iowa will certainly be foaming at the mouth to try and get a win. They are desperate for a win. They do not want to start the year 0-3. So, again, as I mentioned in the headliners, Michigan State, though, when you look at recent history against the Hawkeyes, Michigan State is looking for its fourth consecutive dub. You know, and you know, this would be the longest win streak for the Spartans over the Hawkeyes in the 67-year series. Michigan State has never won five straight. Never won five straight. This would be big. And, you know, you evaluate this game in a few different ways. You know, I want to mention this first. I want to attack it from this standpoint first. Michigan State's pass game has been so impressive. I mean, when you look at, you know, what Rocky Lombardi has been able to do throughout, you know, these first 2 weeks of the college football year, you know, I didn't know Rocky Lombardi had an arm like this. And look, you know, he probably didn't, but he's worked very hard to make sure that he is ready for this opportunity as the starting quarterback of the Michigan State football team. You know, what we saw when he came in and took over for Brian Lewerke, when Brian Lewerke was going through what he went through, you know, we looked at that, you know, beginning tenure, you know, getting that win over Purdue and said to ourselves, okay, Michigan State may have something special here. But, you know, as we saw Rocky Lombardi's career go on that season, you know, replacing Brian Lewerke and, you know, sparking up a bit of quarterback controversy, talks. We saw at the end of the day, though, that Rocky Lombardi still had a long way to go. He could be more accurate. You know, he rushes throws a bit, you know, understanding, you know, game situations. But now he looks like a more mature quarterback who has control from start to finish. And, you know, again, if you look back at that beginning game to Rutgers, I know some people are saying, yeah, Al, he looked great against Michigan, but what about Rutgers? And again, I think that was just really a product of seven turnovers. You know, when you have seven turnovers, many of those turnovers, yeah, Rocky coughed the ball up twice, had a bad interception, you know, strip fumbled on some bad blocking, though. I mean, my goodness, just left him out to dry there. The MSU running backs did a couple of times. At the end of the day, you know, you look at that game in totality, which is why I said approaching that Michigan game, that don't be surprised if Michigan State makes it very competitive, because Rocky Lombardi did not play horrible in that game. You know, with the exception of those turnovers and a few miscues from him and his receivers, Rocky Lombardi made a few things happen. So much so that, you know, people are saying that maybe Michigan State has the best, you know, one of the best passing attacks in the Big Ten, maybe next to Ohio State after 2 weeks at least. And I'm not kidding. I mean, Rocky Lombardi, again, was not perfect against Rutgers with those two picks. And again, he may not have hit enough passes against Michigan, but he blew past the 300-yard mark and three touchdown passes in each of the first two games of the season. Again, that's up there when you talk about, you know, starting performances through just 2 weeks from quarterbacks in the conference. And look, the Iowa pass defense hasn't been bad, but I think as long as the Spartans aren't turning the ball over in bunches, if you take care of the football, and Michigan State had no turnovers. I mean, you go from having 7 turnovers against Rutgers in that first game to having 0 against Michigan. If you take care of the ball, Michigan State should be able to move the football up and down the field, like they showed against Michigan. You know, they may be one of those teams that just find a way to make things happen when needed. But when you look at this Iowa team, you got to really look at this team, because a lot of people look at that record and say, well, they're 0-2. Well, there's a reason why Iowa is still favored out in Vegas to win this game. You know, this is a desperate Iowa team that is a whole lot better than it showed so far. You know, I went back and looked at some game footage of them. You know, it was fine against Purdue, lost by 4. They were fine against Northwestern, lost by 1. You know, and look, there are only so many bowl slots this year for the Big Ten. And if you start the year 0-3, it's going to be a tough uphill battle to try and turn 0-3 into a decent season. So this is a desperate Iowa team that, again, is foaming at the mouth to get that first win, and they are going to bring it against Michigan State. You know, 2 close losses. You know, the offensive line, I want to mention Iowa's offensive line. They have been good in pass protection, very good in pass protection. They don't give up a lot of pressure on the quarterback, I should say. You know, when you look at, you know, how they have been able to protect the quarterback and not give the opposition the opportunity to have a lot of chaos in the backfield, it's very impressive. Very, very impressive. And that is something that if Michigan State is able to get some push in the trenches and able to get to the quarterback, I think Michigan State is going to win this game. I think that is key. That is key. And, you know, a key stat here, speaking of key, 2.2%. That's the sack rate that Iowa's offensive line has allowed this year. That's good for 7th. No, not in the conference, which wouldn't be good, right? But 7th in the country, folks. 2.2%. That's it. That is it. Now make no mistake. You know, Naquan Jones, Drew Beasley, Jacob Panishuk, they have highlighted a pretty impressive defensive line to start the season, but this is going to be a big test coming off a really good outing against Michigan. Jones, Beasley, Panishuk, that defensive line has to play well, because again, that offensive line for Iowa isn't giving up much. 2.2% sack rate. Also, I want to take note of this. You know, Michigan State's run game. You know, speaking of, I mean, the battle was won in the trenches, isn't it? You know, usually when you look at a game, it's, you know, a football game, it is won at the line of scrimmage. Can the offensive line win the battle against the defensive line and vice versa? Because whoever wins in the trenches, it leads to good things. It opens up your run game. It allows your quarterback more time to throw the football. And if you're wreaking havoc in the backfield and you're able to push that offensive line around, and you're able to get pressure, it totally disrupts the offensive game plan. You know, I remember I was talking with Jack Ebling a few years ago. We historically, you know, pre-COVID, have our press seats in row 1 at Spartan Stadium. And I remember one time Jack, you know, he nudged, you know, and Jack is also a former high school football coach and knows the game very well. I mean, he's a Michigan State sports savant. But I remember one time he nudged me and he said, look, Al, and I learned this a long time ago in the game of football. If you want to know who has the edge in winning the game, just don't look at the ball when it's tight to the quarterback and look at the quarterback and look at the big plays down the field. You know, don't look at the wide receivers battling with the corners. You know, don't look at the running back, you know, either blocking or trying to get open for a pass or running through the hole. No, just look at who is winning the battle at the line. the offensive line or the defensive line. And it will tell you a lot about who has the edge in the game. And it is so, so true. And the reason why Michigan State's run game looked incredibly pitiful against Rutgers in game one, and the reason why we saw a lot of those bad turnovers was because we had Michigan State had bad line play. We saw bad line play. And that offensive line couldn't open up any holes or give any protection for Rocky Lombardi or open up any holes for Michigan State's run backs. Simple as that, man. And Michigan State, I said the key for them, you know, competing against Michigan was going to be, can you rush? I said, look, man, just give me, if you give me a good 70, 80 yards, you got a good chance of being competitive against Michigan. And Michigan State goes out there and totally blows that thing up. And ends up running for a total of, you know, 126 on the ground. 126. Amazing. Amazing. And, you know, it's going to come down to guys like, you know, I think Jordan Simmons has established himself as maybe the guy in the rushing attack right now. You know, he had 14 carries for 55 yards last week. I mean, Connor Hayward is there as well. But Jordan Simmons just seems to me to have a better feel for the game. You know, he's going to have to play well, and that offensive line is going to have to open up some nice things for him. And then as far as going back to Rocky Lombardi and what he is able, you know, what he is able to produce throughout the first 2 weeks of the Big Ten season. Again, he threw for 323 last week, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. If he is going to continue to trend upward, he is going to have to continue to get great production from his receivers as well, and continue to be on the same page with guys like Jalen Naylor. And how about pretty Ricky White? I think we are all excited to see if Ricky White can continue to be the player that we saw in his breakout performance against the Wolverines last weekend. Was he just a product of bad, horrible corner secondary play from the Wolverines? Or can this kid do it against any team in the Big Ten, any team he's lined up against? Was it just a Michigan problem, you know, for the Wolverines? Or is this a guy who can wreak havoc no matter who the opposition is? We'll find out starting tomorrow, all right? At the end of the day, I don't know, man. I'm going to go with my gut here. Spartan fans won't like this. I think Iowa is very hungry. They lost those first two games by slim margins. I think Iowa pulls out this thing. They don't cover that 6.5-point spread, but I think Iowa wins this thing by 3 points. I'm going to go 24-21 Iowa. That's my final there. And I know Spartan fans are probably listening to this and saying, Al, how could you? Did you see what Michigan State did to Michigan last week? I think Michigan State may – I don't know where Michigan State's emotion is right now. You know, when you have a big win like that, when you're not expected to win and you shock the college football world, you may have the tendency to – I don't want to say take your foot off the gas, but maybe to get a bit complacent, like, yeah, look at what we did last week. We got this one, baby. It's Iowa. I mean, come on, they're 0-2. I think there may be a little bit of that. Just a little bit of that. And again, that comes down to coaching too. I think Mel Tucker, no knocking against Mel Tucker, but Mel Tucker is, you know, is still in the preliminary stages of his tenure, still trying to figure out this team. There are a lot of young pups on this squad with not a lot of experience. I don't know. I think I look at this game, and again, this is a pure gut reaction, but I don't know if Michigan State has fully put what happened last week against Michigan in its rearview mirror. I hope I'm wrong, though. 24-21 Hawkeyes. Let's hit our final break. And when we come back, we'll talk some Michigan State basketball. You get the chance to hear from Aaron Henry, who is going to be one of the centerpiece players for the Michigan State men's basketball team this upcoming year. You know, there was a lot of talk about Aaron Henry possibly making the jump to the association. In the end, though, he decided to come back And he talked with us media members this week, and he opened up as to why he decided to come back and the type of player that he expects to be this upcoming season to bolster that NBA draft stock come next year. All right? So we'll hit our final break, and we'll talk Spartan Hoops coming back. You are listening to the Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. A beautiful Friday, ladies and gents. Enjoy this one. I'm going to go out and hit some golf balls later on, and I can't wait. And also, just getting out and about, you know, as I noted earlier this week, I mean, with this week being election, it's not election day, it's election week, isn't it? There's a lot of anxiety and emotions can be everywhere. Just get out and about, you know, and at least go for a walk, all right, just to get out your head a bit, all right, folks. But what I want to do to close out the show is I want to roll in the media availability of Aaron Henry. Aaron Henry, again, who is going to be a centerpiece player for Tom Izzo's Michigan State men's basketball team. You know, he is, you know, this is a guy who's returning as now. I mean, when you look at the absence of Tillman and, you know, Xavier Tillman and Cassius Winston, I mean, Henry is the guy in this third year with the Spartans. He is the leading returning scorer, scoring 10 points per game last season. So this means that Michigan State will be counting on Henry to play a bigger role this year. You know, even if, I mean, and you're hearing him talk about it, you know, he said that I'm a small piece of the puzzle. No, he's going to be a major piece of the puzzle this upcoming year, and he's going to have a lot of opportunity to show what type of player he is to those NBA scouts. Because, again, he thought about going to the league in the offseason, got a lot of feedback, and said that, okay, it's probably best that I come back. And you know, he did 22 interviews. And he said that he received a wide range of feedback about the game that he's shown in his two seasons at Michigan State. Ultimately, he said that many teams wanted to see more of that kind of game to get a fuller sense of what kind of player he is. They want to see more. They think he's a decent player, but they want to see more. So, and again, also noted that, look, man, we don't even know what the full schedule of this upcoming year for Michigan State men's basketball is going to look like, all right? So what I want to do is roll in a bit of the press availability for Aaron Henry. Here is Aaron Henry on this upcoming year for himself and the Michigan State men's basketball program.
Just wanted to maximize my opportunity here at State. You know, I realize I had a solid, maybe decent 2 years, but I have a lot more to give, you know, a lot more to give out of myself and for this team and for this university. And just, you know, being back to play with these guys, it's my family for forever. So, I mean, it was no wrong choice either way. I could have grinded it out either way, but I felt this was the most sensible decision for me. First is just be, you know, winning games, you know, winning the championship and realizing that anything that I want to do personally won't be done unless I do that, you know. And I don't want to say be selfish in that way and look out for myself and win, but no, I'm here for the family. I'm here for the team. You know, Coach Izzo's gave everything he's had and put it into me as well as my teammates and the assistant coaches all the way up from head to bottom. So it's one of those things where it's a perfect mesh ever since I've been here, and I just look forward to making the most of my opportunity for my future and for right now as well.
Obviously, you guys lose Cassius, Xavier's gone. There's still a lot of talent on this roster, but a lot of people are looking to you as this to kind of be the year Aaron Henry like breaks out and kind of makes this his team and the guy that's kind of the focal point of this team. Do you feel like that's there for you? Do you relish that opportunity to kind of take on more of a you know, more of a, I guess, leading role on this team?
Absolutely, you know, and it's nothing short. I'm just a piece of the puzzle, honestly. You know, we have a lot of great pieces from head to bottom. You know, I'm just guys that I came in with as freshmen that have grown to be players that didn't play at the beginning of their careers all the way to now where they're looking for pivotal minutes. And you got a Joey transferring in. You got Rocket being a sophomore. Josh coming back for his fifth year. And everybody's just growing, and we're just adding. And I'm a small piece to the puzzle, but I'm glad to be looked at in that light. That's always a wonderful feeling. But, you know, I'm ready to compete with the team.
We'll go to Brendan Schwabe and then follow that up.
Hey, Aaron. So, obviously, you're the leading returning scorer on the team, kind of like Matt just talked about. You're going to have to pick up a big role of the scoring loss with Cashit and Xavier. What other parts of your game are you trying to focus on and build besides scoring them?
Just getting others involved, realizing that, you know, I can always draw two. I can always get to my spot, get to my shot at any time. But just seeing the defense before it happens, you know, just having that experience that how Cassius was so good at seeing the plays, how Xavier was just always in the right spot at the right time, just learning from players like those and watching the games over the summer and the bubble that happened in the NBA and just always watching the game. You know, just seeing how defenses play each other, how to get in the lane and make the right play, you know, make shots and just be the player that everybody expects me to be, but more importantly, the player that I know I can be. First, to start off with the number change, it was something that I was AJ's host on his official, and we just clicked instantly. It's like a brother to me. I don't want to call it like a little brother because he's younger than me, nothing like that. No, that's somebody that means a lot to me. You know, he asked for that number, and it's like, bro, it's a number to me. It has no relevance to my family at all, and it means everything to you. So, I mean, it was a simple number change for me, but it meant the world for him, and I feel like that's a sacrifice a Spartan would do, you know, as a captain and whatnot. I feel like that was the right thing to do. And as far as feedback from the NBA, just they want to see more. They want to see like my game, what was to it, you know. There's always more, you know. It's just intrigued on the type of player that I really was and the system that I really am, and not really, but that I played in. You know, it was a lot of feedback, and it was different from every team. Every team had their own vision of me and who I was, but not being able to work out for certain teams, you know, impacted that. You know, and just the date that we had, it really impacted that as well. Not that it was bad, but that's just how it worked out. And not to say that me being here at this podium now is a bad thing. You know, what's for me is going to be for me, and I'm ready to hit this ground running for this year. You know, I'm excited about our team, and that's the past. I can't go back in the past and leave after my sophomore year. I'm not a sophomore anymore, so I'd like to leave that back there. But, you know, I'm really excited about this team.
If I could follow up quickly on that, do you remember how many conversations with you were in there for a long time for most of the time.
Yeah.
Was it a quick decision, or did you take all the time you had to really go back?
I talked to 22 teams, I think so, and there were some teams that were high on me, some teams that were low on me. It's what like every kid goes through, I can imagine. You know, it's probably different for right now, but you know, like I said, the feedback was different for every team. You know, some good, some bad, but it is what it is. Just trying to leave that in the past, honestly, if I could do that. That's all I did was work. And when I went home, I mean, I didn't want to be a victim of my situation. That's something that, you know, we talk about a lot. You know, it's hard for people to go out and do stuff, you know, publicly. You want to go out and hang out. But, you know, in Indiana, you know, where I'm from, there's gyms on every corner. You know, there's some place you can get in all the time and get your work in. And that's something that I've been fortunate and blessed with. People that care about me, a trainer, you know, Rob Blackwell back at home, worked with me all summer. You know, we got in once, sometimes twice a day. And just being around some of the pro guys like Denzel or Gary to show me the ropes of how to be a professional player, you know, and how to take care of that off time and take care of my body, and especially on how to eat. You know, I really train myself to be, you know, trying to take that next step and trying to be productive and grow in that area. And that's something that I look forward to displaying as well as producing.
All right, a lot to digest there, right? You know, Aaron Henry, he sounds poised and focused, and I'm looking forward to seeing that young man take his game to another level. All right, folks, well, we are out of time. What a week it has been here on Current Sports, you know, starting by you know, recapping on Monday's show, just the incredible victory that was Michigan State over Michigan. We'll see if the Spartans can prove me wrong again And I should just do that, right? Every time I say the Spartans are going to lose, they prove me wrong and win. So, you know, maybe I should just keep picking against them, and they can just keep racking up the wins, right? But we'll see what happens. Michigan State and Iowa, we'll recap things on Monday. We'll also recap Lions and Vikings. Yes, we got to. And also, can Michigan get out the doghouse and top Indiana and keep that win streak going? So enjoy your weekend of football. We'll see what happens with the election. But no matter what, please keep your mental healthy. All right, folks, I want you all to be safe, be smart, and as always, be easy, people.